and Sundance Reel on the weekend with David Darcy, and we have documentary director from the, let's see, David, there's so many documentaries.
The film is Welcome to Chechnya by David France.
And you're in the U.S. documentary competition, which I'm always confused about how a film about Chechnya gets into the U.S. documentary competition.
David's an American filmmaker.
And the financing was mostly from the U.S. Uh-huh. And I think that's one of their measures, was where, who supported it.
Okay. There's a lot to talk about in this film, but the title, Welcome to Chechnya, may send a message that people who end up seeing the film might look at a bit ironically. Talk about the title, if you could, because that's the first thing that people are going to read.
Well, it's. I hope they receive it as irony, because that's my intent. I wanted to suggest that what we're doing is opening up a part of the world that you think you know something about, and you'll see it differently. To invite people to come and have that experience.
Okay, how'd you get to this topic, and what did you find?
Well, the film is about a campaign waged by the government of Chechnya, which is a semi-autonomous republic within Russia, against the LGBTQ community there, an effort to round up, detain, and liquidate, literally, every member of the LGBTQ community within the Chechen family. First time anywhere in the world since Hitler that such a campaign, systematic, government mandated, had taken place. And this has been going on since 2017. And we know this across the globe because it was revealed in the press, and the papers in Russia uncovered it, and the headlines went around the world. But they died very quickly in the U.S. press. And I had wondered what had happened there, how that had worked out. And one of the only reporters in the U.S. who had kept the coverage going was Masha Gessen, a reporter at The New Yorker and herself a Russian exile. So I learned from her about the ongoing efforts from the... and among the activist community in Russia to try to respond to the crisis in Chechnya in a way that no government agency was doing anywhere in Russia or the rest of the world.
Okay. You're talking about a crisis. Be specific. What was happening?
Well, and what we knew from early on was that Chechen state security agents had discovered... one person during a drug arrest had a telephone that included photographs and text messages on it that suggested that he was gay and that other people in the area were gay. This came, I think, as a kind of a shock to at least the security agent who found these images, reported it up the chain, and we've been able to verify the hierarchical aspect of this. And they were instructed to extract from this person they found any information on any of the individuals whose information was in his phone. They then went and detained those people and tortured the information out of them, detained another 10 or 15 people per individual, and so forth. So it was a kind of a snowballing effect that led eventually to this kind of ultimate policy to cleanse the Chechen bloodline of gay people.
So we're in this odd kind of paradox. Chechnya still is a very, very traditional society with an authoritative form of Islam, and also with family being really the most important social unit and extreme conformity imposed on generations by family. On the other hand, It's part of Russia. People think that Chechnya is a separate country. Chechnya is part of Russia. And it is subject to Vladimir Putin, who has his own ambitions of authority that he wants to have there. Talk about how this campaign is going on with the knowledge and support of Putin and with a head of state that Putin essentially installed
right.
in Chechnya, who is very proud that this is happening.
Mm-hmm. Brags about it and admits it openly of what he's doing.
Yeah, his name, please.
His name is Ramzan Kadyrov, and he was his father was put in power after the second war Russia waged against the Chechen separatists in the 2000s. And when Putin put down the insurgents there, he appointed Ramzan Kadyrov's father to be his strongman in situ and to keep the populace in check. And it was very important to Putin to pacify really the militants in Chechnya using any techniques available. And so what he was really doing was encouraging a very brutal regime to develop there and to take control there. This anti-gay work has to be seen in the context of Putin's turn to the right, really, on traditional values and his invitation of the church to come back into public life in a very significant, powerful way. And he began to recognize how using and fomenting anti-queer sentiment in Russia was elemental in bringing his power base along with him in his turn toward totalitarianism, toward authoritarianism.
And
what you're going to see when you see this film is a kind of an improbable filming of people who have been trying to make themselves invisible. And sometimes David meets with them at places where they're staying, where they're hiding. Sometimes he's meeting with a number of people at a time. I don't know what he's shooting on, but I would imagine there's a significant risk in the government finding out that a film is being made about this, and particularly since many of these people who are fleeing or hiding have already been known to law enforcement, have already been arrested, have been tortured, have been held in custody, all of that. Talk about the logistics of this, because it's hard to believe that you could get away with it, frankly.
Well, you're right to point out that the individuals who survived their torture in Chechnya were still being hunted, because of the nature of this kind of ethnic cleansing from within, this genocidal campaign, it wasn't enough to just scare people out of town. According to this concept, it was a campaign really to eliminate this kind of cancer, as it was seen, as though you could actually somehow eliminate gay people from any gene pool. So it was hard initially for me to convince folks to let me film them because, first of all, they didn't want their locations revealed, so I had to work with a very, very small footprint. It was me and my local producer, Oskold Kurov, and we didn't use any professional equipment. We had a little tourist camera and cell phones, and that's how we recorded the film. And then I had to ask the people to let me film their faces, and they had done one or two news interviews for European outlets mostly, in which they agreed to tell their stories under the condition of being in deep shadow and having their voices made into mechanical versions of themselves. And it was very hard for anybody to really understand what their lives were like in that kind of interview setting. So I said, let me follow you. Let me see what your life is like. Let me see what it's like to be you, having survived this, having encountered such atrocities, and trying to still find your way to some sort of safety. And I promised to disguise them, which is why they allowed me in. And also, I don't speak the language, and I think that they eventually stopped even thinking too much about my presence because I wasn't responding to what they were saying specifically and didn't really know what it was I had captured until after I had brought footage to translators.
Okay, I should add that this is part of the story of Welcome to Chechnya, because the other part is getting out of Chechnya. And what David France has done in the film is to find LGBT activists whose mission is to find people who've been persecuted, give them a safe place to stay, and then get them out of that situation, men and women. So it's kind of like, crude parallel, but kind of like an underground railroad for persecuted gay Chechens, gay and lesbian Chechens. Yeah. Talk. And again, the and where there's a border control, even though this is part of Russia, there's serious customs control at airports, and there are people who have fled their families. I believe one of them was the daughter of an official, and in a world where honor is very important, you have honor punishment, honor killing as part of that
so-called
that structure of authority.
Right.
So, Dave, can you pick it up from there? Because this is talk about this system of getting people out.
Well, the horror on top of the horror in this circumstance is that once this atrocity was revealed, nothing happened. The Russian federal courts and law enforcement did nothing about it. Putin denied the existence of these crimes. There was nobody coming to the aid of the people who were in such incredible peril in Chechnya. And they began to reach out to the national LGBT organization called Russian LGBT Network, and the network began receiving these pleas for help, and had no mechanism in place for how to respond to it, and concocted with the help of partner organizations in Russia and beyond that, LGBTQ organizations throughout the globe to build this pipeline. And then in order to get into the pipeline, it required this incredible heroics that that these local activists with no experience in such sort of kind of daring rescue efforts undertook with incredible courage. And that's really what the film is about. It's about the organization and how what they took on and what that cost them to become the saviors of people whose lives were under such control, and then keep them safe even when they got them to, you know, far-flung capitals around the world, because even in London, even in Paris, they are still being hunted. So they're still living in the shadows, although their chances of survival are better there. They're not yet free.
So can we assume that for everyone who gets out, there'll be another person or another 10 people or another 20 people who are fleeing persecution by law enforcement, by their families, who would end up or want to hopefully end up in a place where they're being hidden and being prepared for transport to Moscow or St. Petersburg or someplace in Western Europe or Canada, which seems to be one of the only places that is allowing these refugees to come in.
Inviting, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, during the course of my 2 years of shooting, this network saved 151 people, and that was remarkable work. And those 151 people are still safe and still alive. And that's really a testament to a kind of a human spirit that I had never witnessed before, that they would find the wherewithal to pull this off. And they're still doing it. The problem is still going on. But for each of those people, there are 10, 20, 30, 50 people who we've never heard from, who never made it. There's an unknown number of deaths, an unknown number of people who just disappeared that we never heard from again. There are several of those stories.
A pop star, one of the big pop stars in Chechnya, disappeared.
Just vanished. During this period, while I was filming, there comes word that he's stepped out of his sister's house. He'd gone to visit her for her wedding. Steps outside to get his hair cut. Boom, gone.
Okay, I have to ask you one question really quickly. We see some archival footage of real atrocities that are presented very, very, very discreetly. I assume you had a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. If you're, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah. Well, not why. I understand why. But there is lots of documentation and cell phone footage of the brutality.
Mm-hmm. There is, and this is all kind of intercepted footage. This is footage that was shot by the people who are perpetrating that brutality, shot either as trophies of their horrendous acts, or as a kind of deliverable to send up the chain of command.
Okay. Here I am. I'm doing my job.
Right. You asked me to do this, and here I've done it. So for one reason or another, they served an atrocious, purpose for the people involved in these crimes against humanity. And they have been intercepted by activists from time to time, and they exist as video evidence of what's happening there and how it's happening there. And we felt it was important, I felt it was important in the film to include that footage, to repurpose it as evidence against the people who were committing those crimes, and to show that this is not a debate amongst people about whether or not this is happening. It is absolutely happening, and it's absolutely as deadly as the survivors describe, and the pressure that they feel and the fear that they feel about being pursued across the globe is very real.
Director David France with the film Welcome to Chechnya, which premieres tomorrow, Sunday, at the Prospector Square Theater, also Monday at the Redstone Cinemas in Park City. And thank you very much for your time.
Man, thank you guys.
Tune in and find out about some of the unknown and talented independent filmmakers from around the world. Join us for the Sundance Reel each weekday morning between 9 and 10. We'll highlight some of the most intriguing films being presented at this year's Sundance Film Festival. That's the Sundance Reel weekday mornings from 9 to 10 through January 31st, right here on KPCW or online, kpcw.org.
The Sundance Reel is brought to you in part by Sundance Institute, presenting the 2020 Sundance Film Festival from January 23rd through February 2nd. And Acura, proud 10-year sponsor of the festival and supporter of independent film and music. Learn more at Acura.com.